Hey guys, I have a couple requests. First, if you haven't already, you should take a look at The Adventure Zone from the McElroy Brothers. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast where the brothers and their dad play the game. Even if you're not into D&D, there's a ton to keep you listening. It's essentially a fantasy-based narrative storytelling podcast with McElroy antics. It's really funny. I listened to the first episode and got hooked. Now it's probably my most anticipated update. So this was my first D&D podcast, and it got me wanting more, so I started looking around. And I had some trouble coming up with others that, you know, sort of fit the bill, though I did come across another one called You Don't Meet in an Inn. And this one seems to be a role-playing game podcast, but not specifically D&D. So please check it out and let me know how it is. I'd like to do it myself, but that's really your job. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Welcome to Always Listening. We are your hosts.
I'm Josh.
I'm Joel, and we are Always Listening. This is episode 10 of Always Listening and the first episode of this year's Listener Appreciation Month. In case you haven't listened to all of our ranting and raving about Listener Appreciation Month, in case you weren't here for last year, here's the way it works. You'll get two episodes a week, two podcast reviews every week during the month of November, and they're all listener-submitted shows. You heard before the episode even began, the intro from Richard Bennett, our good buddy. He is way into Dungeons & Dragons and way into Dungeons & Dragons podcasts recently, and he suggested this show. We had also gotten some contact from Austin Ramsey, the host and the main Dungeon Master, or Games Master, I should say, for this podcast. He had suggested the show a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I think right after last year's Listener Appreciation Month. So this has been a review a long time in the making. You already heard the stats there. The hosts are Christine Blight and Austin Ramsey. This is a show not about Dungeons & Dragons, which is what I thought it was about at first, Josh, but this is a show about all the other tabletop role-playing games.
All kinds of games.
The title of the show, You Don't Meet in an Inn, is a play on the fact that a lot of Dungeons & Dragons adventures, the easy way to begin those adventures, because you do have different types of people. You've got dwarves and elves and humans and wizards and all these things coming together. And why would these people come together? Well, it's easy to do it if they're all in a bar, right? So you meet in an inn, you meet in the tavern a lot of times. And this podcast and the episodes in this podcast are about all the other kinds of adventures you can have in a role-playing game. I didn't know any of these games. Had you ever heard any of the games that mentioned in the episodes you listened to?
Yes, I have heard of Apocalypse World.
Really?
Yeah, there's a couple of games also I'd like to see them do that they haven't done yet, but they mention, like, for example, I want to say in one of the intros, they mention Shadowrun. They mention, I think, Vampire the Masquerade. I would like to see those done. That would be cool.
Vampire the Masquerade is, other than Dungeons & Dragons, it's really my only exposure to any role-playing. And we should say, you and I have never – have you played any role-playing at all?
No.
But you've had friends who've done it for years, and you've like been tangentially connected.
Sure,
to, you know, right. A little bit of it. So I'm in the same boat. I've always had friends who played different kinds of these games, and I always was sort of vaguely interested in it, just never had the time. You and I are trying to right now. As a matter of fact, as we record this, I'm going to play for the first time tonight. You are not going to be able to make it, but I'm about to start Dungeons & Dragons for the first time, so I'm really excited about that. But Vampire the Masquerade, I had some friends in college that were way into that, and they had the books, and I read a lot of the sort of background material on the world as they were trying to get me to play with them. I never actually played with them, but that's a game that I would like to hear these guys discuss too. That's a very good point. I would love to hear that episode, in fact. So let's start and talk about the way we break down a show here. We discuss the host likability, the production values, the audio quality, and the content. If you range a show and you discuss it in those four areas, you can pretty much cover what's good about it and what's not good about it. And so we'll give you a sample of that 8 times this month. Let's start with this show. Host likability. What do you think of Christine and Austin? How do they introduce the games? Because they do that all by themselves a lot of times in this show. And then how do they host the games, as both of them now have been games masters? What did you think?
Oh, I don't think I've listened to one. I think every episode I listened to, Austin was the game master. So that's interesting.
The last, at least the last couple of playthroughs, Christine has mastered. I listened to her doing Poor Unfortunate Foals, which is it's a My Little Pony RPG, and she was the games master for that one.
You can literally, there has to literally be an RPG for just about everything now, man.
Well, there one of the games that they discussed, Big Eyes, Small Mouth, right? Isn't that the name of the system? BESM. And the whole point of that one is that it's for anime. And so it's super broad. You can literally put anybody into that game and that world and those mechanics, and it'll work. And they do. What they like to play in the BESM system is they play what they call the All-Star game, and it's literally any fictional character that you want to use. So, like, they end up with a, you know, Lumpy Space Princess playing alongside, you know, Darth Vader if they want to. And that totally works. Yeah.
So how these episodes are set up, which I thought was pretty nice, is pretty much every game system has an intro, and they explain the mechanics behind the game, which tended to be my favorite episodes. And then they hop right into it, and they do a full playthrough of a story. So it allows them to quickly move through several different game systems and introduce you to a lot of different types of tabletop games you may not have played before. So that's really nice. And I think most of the playthroughs are within 6 episodes. Does that sound about right? 6?
Was yeah, absolutely. And there were several that the campaign was only like 4 episodes long. You know, it's like 4 hours and change or so, and that's the whole campaign. The campaign episodes can be from an hour and 15, all the way up to almost 2 hours long. There were several of the intro episodes that were as short as 30 minutes, though. So the length of these episodes varies quite a lot, depending upon exactly what they're doing. But I thought they did a pretty good job of it. I like both Austin and Christine. I think they're generally pretty clear when they're describing the mechanics and the universes that these games are set in, or the universes that they build up. But on the flip side, though, I felt like in every one of those introductory episodes that I listened to, and I think I listened to 3 of those introductory episodes, there were at least 1 or 2 questions that I had that never got answered specifically. Or there would be something that they sort of explained, but not if you haven't also been reading the instruction booklet. You know what I mean?
That didn't bother me at all.
I just felt like maybe those needed to be more thorough, I guess is what I'm saying.
See, I disagree with you on that completely.
All right.
I felt like the introductions, well, because whenever you choose to do a podcast like this, part of it is I think you would want the listener to discover and explore things about the game mechanics in the playthrough episodes. So if you are just doing a massive info dump in the intro, that kind of takes that fun away. So I think that for the intro, I think they do a good job. Like, you get a feel for the mechanics of the game, kind of the world that it's played in. And that's really all you need to start listening to the playthroughs.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about sort of drowning in the minutia before you even really get a taste of the game. And maybe you're like, oh, this sounds boring, so I never even pay attention to those episodes. Whereas if you'd heard them play you would have been like, oh, I understand it, and it fits more now.
Right. And I found that to be so, getting drowned in the minutiae of it, I found that to be the case in at least the first half of almost the first playthrough of each different game set that I listened to.
So this comes down to 2 things, in my opinion. First of all, the people who actually play the games are not the same, all of them, week to week, right? It's right, a sort right, of a rotating right. cast. Okay. Right. This is one thing that would benefit if you had the same people every week, because those people could be prepped ever so slightly ahead of time on what the nature of the game is going to be. They could know the mechanics a little bit better themselves before they come into the playthrough.
This is recorded audio, so you could get those people together, not record it, explain the game, or have them listen to the intro episode before they start playing.
Absolutely. That was going to be my second answer. You could do it in the editing. You could fix that in the editing. The fact that those people are having those stumbling blocks, you don't need to hear all of them. We could hear some of them. You could still leave a flavor of where people are having issues and where people are having less, but you don't have to give us all of that in real time, and you don't have to give us the full aspect of it. That sort of moves us to production values, don't you think? Or did you have another point?
No, I think for host-like ability, we actually but bolt through that into some other topics.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of true. Well, do you have anything to say though about? I liked both of them. They both came off as knowledgeable and personable.
Well, I do have a clip right here that'll fit for host likability because it kind of gives you an example of the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this clip is the introduction to Fiasco. And there's a bit of discussion on whether Fiasco is a true tabletop role-playing game or not. And so here's that discussion right here.
Well, what do you like about Fiasco?
I'm going to say straight out, though, I do not feel like this is a tabletop role-playing game in the way that I feel like it is. I feel like I need to establish that.
Okay, why don't you feel it's not an RPG?
Enough math.
Really?
Not enough math.
It's the lack of numbers that...
Well, it's because all the narrative choices, minus a few details... This is an improv exercise to me. Nothing against improv exercises, obviously. And I had a lot of fun with this game. However, I don't feel like this is... Because nothing was left to fate.
All right, so in role-playing games, as a player, there's so many options, and there's so much chance to it with all the die rolls and all of the pluses or minuses based on your characteristics of the character, right? Well, in Fiasco, there's not that much, right? Like, there's not a whole lot of chance to the game as you play through it. And so that was part of the discussion you just heard.
That gives you a good flavor of what these two are like and what their relationship's like, too. All right, let's talk about production values now. How do you put the show together? You've already heard a little bit of the show there. The one thing that I'll say is I really enjoyed their theme song. I think it really fits the show. It's got a great feel to it. I loved it.
Yeah, I like the theme song. I like the title of the show. I enjoyed those a lot.
Their logo could stand a little work, but I mean, like, that's spit and polish over time, I think, is all that is. But the audio production starts really good for me. Where it transitions into the bad is the audio quality itself. For the introductory episodes where it's just Christine and Austin,
it's great. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's every bit as good as these episodes that you and I are recording at distance.
Well, I would like to, yeah. I went back and listened to the lore episode, and we are apart and we're trying to find, you know, maybe headsets or mics that work. And I was blowing my mic out a lot. You'd mentioned it to me before we recorded and I didn't really make an adjustment. So I'm sorry to anybody who had to listen to me blowing my mic out.
You know what? I wasn't going to say anything, but you've done such a good job so far tonight. You haven't done it once. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, I'm trying real hard.
But the audio quality here suffers so much when you have the full playthroughs, though. And I'm sure it's just an issue of equipment. You know, these guys are not recording in a professional studio. They're recording in whatever room they're playing these games in. And it's probably
one mic, right?
Yeah, it's got to be one mic, maybe two at the most. And so what you get is if you're at the end of the table or if someone's not aimed in the right direction when they're having the conversation, that's almost unintelligible compared to the people who are right beside the microphone. So, but that's something that's like even the Nerdist playing one of these role-playing games would have that issue, except for the fact that they moved it into a professional studio. They put a mixer in and everybody's got their own microphone. So like if you and I, well, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to play Dungeons and Dragons tonight. I'm trying very hard to get that recorded. I don't know that we'll do anything with it, but maybe eventually some of that audio will get used in one way or another. And I've already been thinking about, I'm going to have to sacrifice a little bit of the audio quality that I normally expect in one of my productions because of the nature of what we're doing. You know, it's four people in different locations all recording from one location. And so, again, if you like this content, then the audio quality won't matter to you as much as it does. But if you're an audio snob, this is not going to be the show for you because there is a lot left to want there.
Oh, I think that if you immerse yourself in the Potterverse and are listening to it as if you're role playing being part of that group, then I think the feel of it is as if you're at that table and maybe, you know, it happens all the time. No matter what games you're playing, somebody will get up, go to the restroom or grab a drink or some snacks, but they're still talking from the next room and you can't really hear what they're saying. It's kind of that feel.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's audio quality. Let's talk then about the content, the specific content for the show. And we've already sort of explained they don't play the big role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons, that everybody thinks of. They play everything else. They play a lot of obscure tabletop games. I thought, what a great idea. Like, what a wonderful idea, because the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of, quote-unquote, professional Dungeons & Dragons podcasts out there. The Nerdist yes. has one.
Right.
They've got one from Penny Arcade that has been going on for, you know, a decade, I think. Yeah, Nerd Poker is going on.
Harmontown.
Yeah, Harmontown does it. You're right. I mean, we've even reviewed that show. They close every episode with an ongoing game of D&D. I personally listen to The Adventure Zone. My wife and I listen to that. That's from the McElroy brothers and their dad with Maximum Fun. So everybody's got one of these. What sets these guys apart?
I refuse to listen to it.
I think you would really enjoy it. What sets these guys apart, though, is the fact that they're going to play tabletop games that none of those other podcasts are ever going to cover.
Right. Yes.
So if you find yourself interested in tabletop gaming and RPGs, then I think this is a great one because you can be exposed to a lot of games without spending the time, the money, or the effort to try to put a game together yourself. The fact of the matter is all of these systems cost money, or most of them do if you want to buy the books and stuff. A lot of them you can find the information online, but maybe it's not complete, or if you get into a game, you want more than just the free stuff that you can get online. So these guys can give you a broad overview and even a real flavor of what it's like to play without you ever spending any money.
Yeah, and also think that it's, you know, when you try to get a group of people to together to play a game like that, I think it can be pretty daunting to where if you're like, hey guys, we're going to play Apocalypse World, and then everybody listens to the intro of that, and even the first part of the playthrough, the first playthrough, people will know how to play it before they even start, and it'll make them more comfortable.
Yeah, but I agree. All right, let's move to our don't miss moments. I've got one, and I'm really excited to share this one because I think it sort of perfectly suits up or sums up the way I felt about this podcast as a whole. You know, I mentioned earlier, these guys play the big eye, small mouth system, which is all about playing anime games. And through that system, through that game system and mechanics, you can create pretty much any character from fiction that you want to use. So you might have a game where the party is made up of Batman and Lumpy Space Princess and, you know, from Adventure Time, and also Darth Vader. You know, I mean, those might be your three hero characters. It's an insane right. system. This quote is not from an episode of that game, though. This quote is from the, let's see, it's the Poor Unfortunate Foals playthrough part one. So this is from the episode where they did the little My Little Pony game. It's about 45 minutes in, and one of the characters eats a mushroom, I think is what happens. It's, in some way, they are poisoned by a psychotropic drug, and so this is the reaction.
And you flop, sputtering and coughing back onto the beach with this glowing box in your mouth.
Go team!
And and as a result of that action, however, the world doesn't look quite right. The colors are a bit weird and off, and there's, like, the tiger chimera snake thing now to your mind looks like an adorable tiny chimera kitten snake. It doesn't look the same.
Google Your Dream App.
Yeah, everything just, it's like an acid trip. It just, or a delusion. Everything's kind of off. So your functioning is going to be a little bit impaired for a while.
Why did you do this to me?
And that's sort of how this podcast made me feel. I mean, I'm listening to this room full of people say, you know, hey, I'm Batman and you are Lumpy Space Princess. For instance, in the introductory episode to BESM, they rolled Lumpy Space Princess. Like, they created the character with stats. And so it's like, you know, well, like, what is Lumpy Space Princess's charisma? That is such a nerd conversation. I can't even imagine it. Like, it all felt a little like an acid trip. That's sort of what I thought about it.
So I think that I'm going to be on the opposite end of the spectrum as you, because as a whole, I didn't really care for the podcast. And I think most of it has to do with how they structure it. Like, for example, the intro episodes, loved them. I thought they were very informative. I thought they were great conversations. I would listen to a podcast that is nothing but those, really. But I felt like at least the first half of every first playthrough that I listened to was a waste of my time, was the waste of a time as a listener, right? So, for example, in Apocalypse World, they're discussing, you know, their pluses and minus based on, you know, what their history is with other characters involved in the game. And it can be mind numbing, right? Because I don't care. It's not something I'm interested in. And it's not something I really need to know as a listener if I'm listening to this to enjoy the role-playing aspect of it. Right?
Yes.
But that generally lasts about half of the first playthrough. But what I did like, and this is one of my favorite moments, is about halfway through the first playthrough of Fiasco. They're getting toward the end of their characters being fleshed out. And here, I want to say the character's name is Mary Johnson. And Mary is a kind of suburban housewife that dabbles in, you know, some small time crime, right?
Okay.
And she's given a description of Mary, and this is how it goes right here.
I feel that she's like kind of apple-cheeked, and she's a wasp. Let's just get that
so
out there.
So she needs to use blush to do that?
No, whores use blush. I pinch.
Okay. Holy
So just that small bit of they've created the characters – she actually starts slipping into the character of Mary, fleshing her out that way. And I'm stealing this line that whores wear rouge, I pinch. And whenever I heard it, this is going to be sad. Whenever I heard it, I thought, oh man, that sounds just like Blanche DuBois from Golden Girls.
Yes.
And Mary to me then became a young Blanche.
I love it. I love it. All right. So, Josh, are you going to keep listening to You Don't Meet in an Inn?
I am not.
I'm not going to either. It's one of those that I'm glad will now show up in my list of, you know, all of the podcasts I've ever listened to. I've mentioned in Overcast's system, you know, once you've ever had an episode, unless you delete it specifically, that show will always be on the full list. So anytime I'm scrolling through, I can see it. I can check it from time to time. Maybe if they ever do a Vampire the Masquerade episode, for instance, I'll know about that and I'll want to download it. But in general, this is not one I'm going to listen to week to week.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes it comes down to what you're talking about, though. If it was tightly edited, if it was more tightly edited, I think more tightly focused, I think I would be able to maybe go ahead and push it into the listen column.
Well, you know, obviously, I'm not going to listen to it every week, but if we start playing one of these games, yes, I'll definitely at least listen to the intro to that episode.
All right.
I think there's definite value there.
I agree. All right. That is episode 10, our review of Always Listening's review of You Don't Meet in an Inn. Now let's get to some listener feedback, Josh.
Ooh.
All right, this comes on our Facebook page from Anthony Von Desauer. Anthony says, this is about the James Bonding episode. He said, solid review. As a podcaster, I'm actually learning a lot from listening to you guys, and I honestly feel a little intimidated that I asked for a review. Otherwise, everything from the Nerdist is usually good quality as far as production goes, but I think this subject in particular, James Bond, is super niche, which weighs heavily on whether or not a person would be into it. Cheers, Anthony from the Curse of the Silver Lake. Excuse me, the Curse of Silver Lake is the name of his podcast. So thank you, Anthony, for that feedback. Also, we got this from Aaron Mankey. He tweeted to us, Aaron Mankey, the host of the Lore podcast, he tweeted and said, thanks for the kind words, guys. Much appreciated. And I said, thank you for the great show and the nightmares. And he said, you bet. I'll work on the vocal pauses and the jokes. I promise.
Oh, thank God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see that HuffPost before, right before Halloween? did an article on Halloween podcast, and Laura was one of them.
I did. Laura was also featured in the Halloween section on the main page of the iTunes store and of the podcast app on Apple's products. So they had a lot of features. As a matter of fact, he tweeted the other day, "I really hope all you guys keep listening after this Halloween season is over," or something like that. I think he's had a big spike in his numbers, and rightfully so. This show is really, really special. Speaking of, we got some more feedback on that. We got two comments on our lore post on our Facebook group. And by the way, if you love podcasts, whether you're new to it or you were desperate for another one because you already listened to 75 and you're burning those out, join us on Facebook in our Facebook group. Just search for Always Listening. I'll have to approve you, but that's just to keep out the Ray-Ban salesman and the spammers. So join that group, and not only do we post a lot there, but our other fans and listeners post a lot about the shows that they listen to and the topics that they want to talk about as far as podcasting goes. Kellyanne says, "This was a great review, guys. I was already a lore fan, but your critique was spot on. His voice does sometimes sound a bit stilted and theatrical, but the content is amazing. I often found myself doing follow-up reading and learning more about the topics that are covered in the show."
Yeah, hands down.
And then Jonathan Oakes from Trivial Warfare, he's the host or one of the hosts of Trivial Warfare. He says, "Continuing to listen to these episodes talking about lore, the show is so freaking good. It's like sitting around the campfire with a master storyteller of ghost stories."
Yeah, every once in a while you come across, so there's always going to be podcasts by big name celebrities, comedians, politicians, you know, people who are already known in whatever genre they're podcasting. And Aaron Mankey, obviously, he's an author. He's written some books about these subjects. But I feel like, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but I feel like the podcast is really introducing him to the mainstream.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The vast majority of people will know him for this podcast like people know Roman Mars for 99% Invisible. Like, this will be the thing that he is, at least for the next 5 or 10 years. He'll have to do a much bigger thing than this.
And it's early enough in the lore life cycle that if you're hooked onto that podcast, you're kind of ahead of the curve.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good place to be. Go give him a review if you've already fallen in love with lore, and make sure that you mention you heard it on Always Listening. Josh, we'll be back later this week with another episode of Always Listening. We're going to be talking about the Spycast podcast from the International Spy Museum.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. I felt like that you kind of sank this pretty early in the last episode by saying it was dense. I've already listened to several episodes of it, and I don't think that was an apt description at all.
Well, maybe not, but I just meant it's got a lot of information. Like, it's got a of all the shows we've reviewed, other than Hardcore History, which has 4-hour episodes.
You mean it's pretty factual?
Yeah, not just factual, but like thorough too. Like, I don't know. It's just thorough is the word that I keep coming back to. Well, I don't know. I think dense. We're going to talk about it next episode.
We'll talk about it next episode, and you're going to have to explain to me how somebody can be thorough in 20 minutes.
All right, then. Fair enough. That's when we review the Spycast podcast on the next episode of Always Listening. Until next week. No, until Wednesday this week. We've been your hosts.
I'm Josh.
I'm Joel, and we are Always Listening.
Listening is a proud member of the Two Guys and a Rogue Network. You can find more great reviews and our full list of episodes by searching for Always Listening in iTunes or Stitcher, or go to blogtalkradio.com/alwayslisteningpod. Find us on Facebook and Twitter as well, Always Listening Pod, and email the show, alwayslisteningpod@gmail.com. Our theme song is Enough by Bethany Rayburn. No life at all, honey, it ain't no life at all. Two Guys and a Rogue.
I'm one guy.
I'm the other.
And this is the network.